G'day, this is Nurky with an AboveTopSecret.com member podcast. This time in the Conspiracy Theory podcast section, in response to the topic thread, My Rights versus Your Rights. This is actually my second attempt at a reply. The first one I posted on Tuesday of this week, but was never actually put through into the feed, so I reposted it just before I did this, and hopefully that one will come through before this one, so that they make a bit more sense. The first response that I did was in reply to the first six podcasts, which was before Sophronia completely changed the topic and made it a little bit more interesting. And this one is in response to the 14 podcasts that came after. This is going to be a very long podcast. So I advise you to go out, get some beer, some chips, whatever. Put on a nice warm jacket and get comfortable, because I'm going to be talking for a long time. The last one was 14 minutes. This one's probably going to end up being up to about half an hour. So get comfy. First of all, I'd just like to thank everyone for doing such a great job and having such a long pod thread lasting so long, and only up to the 21st response actually starting to get cracking and getting other people out there interested in this, even though the ones before it would have been interesting, but in the 21st one there, Relentless challenged us to go out and do some research on the conspiracy behind political correctness and think up some other ideas in relation to my rights versus your rights. So I'm hoping that dozens of other people want to contribute to this pod thread. Because currently we have almost 400 views on the thread, and hopefully we can get this up to 1,000 within a few days. That'd be excellent. And now for a sequential analysis of some of the previous podcasts, starting with number 7, with Relentless's response. Relentless noted that people are coming to America from nations with religious-driven laws, and that they take advantage of the American legal system. I'd like to say, though, that laws are always going to be taken advantage of. They're there to put roof limits on people's capacities to do things. They're not there to completely deny people their right for actions. But in response to that, is it okay for people to be billionaires in America, but why can't others say that they proclaim white supremacy? Why is being a billionaire and taking money from everyone else in the country supposedly more morally superior than being in the KKK, for example? Not that I'm supporting the KKK, it's just an example. Where are you supposed to draw the line between morality and law? In representing the will of the people, can you oppose law? Or is law supposed to be the collective representative will of the people? Next to Mr. Whoopi's response, which was podcast number 8. I love the bit he brought up about with the topless tribal people coming to America, even though it was probably just a theoretical one. Yeah, I'd rather walk around naked as well. I hate the societal obsession with clothes as being a standard. We're born naked, we shower naked, we sleep naked if we live in a warm climate, so why the hell can't we walk around naked? Sure, some people might look ugly, but that's only because we've been deceived into thinking they're ugly. This is the sound of me slapping my beer belly, and I'm proud of it. In response to what he said about, when he quoted, "They worked me like a Hebrew slave." Like, what the hell is with people taking offense at normally accepted cultural slang terms? I.e., black Africans calling each other that N-word. But if a white person does it, even if they're like quoting an Eminem song or Dr. Dre song or something, it's considered harassment. It's just crap. For example, in my societal, or just in my group of friends where we congregate every week, there's one gay dude who always likes to sit in the back of the room and just sit there and be emo and mope all the time, asking for attention because he's easily offended. For years, we've been making gay jokes without offending anybody, and nobody else really cares. Like, we'll slap each other's asses and pretend to give each other, you know, it's like the action of moving your mouth in front of your hand to give each other hand jobs and shit like that, just as a joke. And he takes complete offense to that. Should we change our actions to appease somebody who's decided to join the group and wants the rest of us to change? Or is it ignorant to just believe that he's going to expect us to change? Buggered if I know. Now, in response to Sophronia? Yeah. Sophronia's first contribution to the thread, which was rather changing. it was the 9th contribution to this thread, or the 9th post. She said that taking Christ out of Christmas is an attack on Christmas. In Australia, the holiday of Xmas, it's called Xmas now more than Christmas, it isn't really about the celebration of the Christian beliefs anymore so much as just a socially recognized acceptance of expressing love for other humans in the form of gifts and well-wishing. Taking Christ out of Christmas isn't really about denying Christians the right to worship him. It's just conforming to the majority opinion. You're still free to celebrate it in your own home and community. Nobody's stopping a Christian from doing that. We're just choosing to celebrate Christmas in our own way. And like I said before, communities are all about consensus. If you join a non-religious majority crowd, you have to accept that they don't all worship Nimrod, or that they smoke, or that they wear religious headscarves, whatever. The most important right that you will ever have is choice. If you refuse to choose to leave a community because they aren't Christian, then you have to deal with the repercussions, which is having people vilify you for acknowledging Christ as the reason behind Christmas. Now, in response to Benevolent Heretics' first contribution, number 10, she said that Christians are taking offense that not everyone wants to do things the way they do. Yeah, I'd wholly agree with that. I respect their right to practice their religion and also their right to not practice it. That's all about choice. And she stated that Christians don't own Christmas and it's all about the consumerism. Yeah, I've been saying that for years. Even since I was about 6 years old, I've been saying, Jesus? Who? What? Christmas is presents and fun and turkey dinners and barbecues. What's this Jesus thing? Personally, I'd been brought up in a non-Christian family, and we still celebrate Christmas, even though personally I hate it now. We've been celebrating Christmas for decades and generations, and we haven't had any Christians in our family. Well, on my mum's side of the family. On a bit of a sidetrack note, not paraphrasing something Benevolent Heretic said, she brought up the response to taking the Christ out of Christmas that Sophronia brought up. To me, as a non-Christian and a conspiracy theorist, the phrase taking the Christ out of Christmas does sound a little bit like a propaganda buzzword phrase to me. You can read that however you want. Response number 11, Sophronia's one, cut out after 56 seconds. It was actually the first half of post number 12. But the note I had down for this was that could she please increase the gain on the microphone? It's very hard to hear it properly. And response number 12, which was Sophronia's. I actually originally had a huge response written up for this, but I just deleted it, and now all I want to say is, what the hell, take a chill pill, girl. Damn, calm down, man. Like, the view of Christianity has been warped over the years. Maybe your view of Kwanzaa has been warped because of your Christian paradigms and your experiences with the Pan-African movement. Maybe they're not really that bad. In response to Benevolent Heretics' post, which was number 13, she mentioned that you said you want the world to bow down and recognize Christ. That's not happening anytime soon. She also said that I have no desire to water down your meaning for Christmas. Yeah, exactly. Wishing someone a happy Kwanzaa or happy holidays or Hanukkah or Winterinmas, as us gamers say, which is the holiday that goes throughout winter in the Northern Hemisphere and we celebrate gaming, it isn't about attacking their beliefs. It's just about wishing someone good luck. BH, that sounds more like I'm insulting her. Benevolent Heretic, she said that as far as I'm concerned, there's no right or wrong. Yeah. To me, right and wrong are just relative and subjective, and we just make our own opinions about what's right or wrong. There is no empirical data on what should be right or what should be wrong. It's not universal. And she also said that, what is it about me expressing my rights that is offensive to you? Why is it that me refusing to accept the Christian holidays and the marriage ceremonies is so offensive to other people? For example, my ex thought I was crazy for never wanting to believe in the purpose behind the marriage ceremony. I'm not weird, it's just choose my own beliefs. Note, she was also a staunch Catholic. I should have seen that one coming. Now, in response to Relentless's post, which was number 14, she stated that no one should have a problem with anyone saying Merry Christmas because this is America. This turned into a religious discussion because religious viewpoints get challenged way too easily. It's so easy to just hang crap on religion because they're very staunch and they're not changing. And unfortunately, the only response people know is to take things personally and get on the defensive. It's only human. And now in response to Benevolent Heretic's response, a Podthread reply, which was number 15, she mentioned that you get offended when people hear Merry Christmas being told to them. Well, I know that I certainly don't, but the only reason I seem grumpy when people wish me a Merry Christmas is because for me, it rarely ever is merry. I'm an emo little shit, so... like when people say good morning to you early Monday morning before I've had my coffee, I'm like, piss off, leave me the hell alone. When people say Merry Christmas to me, I'm like, get fucked, I'm broke as hell, I can't afford anything, it's too hot, I can't be bothered doing anything. And there's all these people in the third world that are living like shit, and the money you spend on one Christmas dinner could feed them for 6 months. So it's not because of political correctness that I tell people to bugger off when they wish me Christmas, or at least think it. It's mostly because of my experiences with Christmas and how I wish for better things during Christmas. And that's usually what I tell them, and they accept that. Also to note, when people usually give me what I would see as a worthless Christmas present, I'd tell them something along the lines of, thank you very much. I appreciate the offer, but there are people out there that could be using this more than I can. Please donate this to the Salvation Army or something. Just, you know, something more productive to do with Christmas. Benevolent Heretic also said that she's out of touch with mainstream America and proud. I agree. I love you. It's so cool. Next, the quote I've got from Benevolent Heretic in that post was that they remove the Christian stuff out of school, i.e. plays, etc., then allow the other religions to celebrate their stuff. And then she got really angry about that. I'd have to agree. What the hell? Why do they take Christian stuff out of school, but leave all the other religious and cultural stuff in there? In equality, if we're going to deny one minority their right, why not just blanket it and deny everybody their rights? That will stop people from proclaiming segregation. Like the phrase I've heard and that I use frequently, I'm not racially discriminant, I hate everyone equally. I gotta love what Benevolent Heretic said rather subtly at the end there. I want to hear more from you about your personal rights being stepped on. Okay. That was cute. If not slightly patronizing. In Sophronia's response after Benevolent Heretics at number 16, that music that you had at the start there was way too loud compared to your voice. I had the volume turned up really high so that I could hear the rest of the podcast, and the music was way too loud. So next time, please increase the gain on your voice a wee bit and turn the gain on the music just a little bit down. Sophronia mentioned that we're all a little bit intolerant of each other now. I hope she isn't referring to this discussion, because it doesn't really seem that anyone other than Sophronia was being offended in one of her earlier podcasts about the Kwanzaa thing. It would appear that the other women, and as much as this doggy, were trying to be objective and not give much of their own opinion. She also mentioned that you can't live your life being paranoid and trying to not offend people. I'd have to agree with that. But in response to that, I'd like to see what people say whenever you mention something along the lines of the KKK and the Nazis and other so-called racist and intolerant groups. Everyone gets all militant and offended whenever you even mention them. Why are they not allowed their freedom of speech, but you are? Tolerance and political correctness are all about hypocrisies. And next, Relentless's response at number 17. I'd like to note that why the hell is it that Relentless sounds almost exactly like Sophie Crow in this podcast? What did you do to change your voice? It's really weird. You sounded like Sophie Crow. Relentless brought up the topic of the... She mentioned that people think that they should never be offended, pretty much. We want to live in bubble balls because we can't take responsibility for our own intolerances. Intolerance is all about blame and lack of responsibility. And I give her kudos for mentioning that true cultural diversity should not cause people to be offended. In Australia, we try to proclaim that we embrace our differences rather than embracing our unity. We are united by our differences, not our similarities. The only similarity that we should have is that we embrace the differences. Next response was Benevolent Heretics at number 18. She mentioned that I wish women ruled the world. Oh my god, I'm so offended. No. A militant woman. Ah, I'm so offended. Ah, I'm going to take you to court, blah, blah. Such ends the sarcasm. I'd want to say that the only true way that we can understand how other people are offended, and hence learning how to avoid it, is to get offended by things ourselves. It takes one to know one, is the popular phrase. As Benevolent Heretic said, take responsibility for being offended. Yeah, exactly. Don't blame others for yourself being offended. The only reason you're offended is because you can't deal with what's being said to you, not because of the other people's ignorance. And then Benevolent Heretic said again, women rule. Oh my god, I'm so offended again. But seriously, in joking in response to that statement, would I be patronizing women into a place of complacency and second class? And would saying that last line offend people? Just something for you to think about there. And I'd like to lol in reply to what Benevolent Heretic said about no intention to offend men after that women rule comment. My response to that is, boys rule, girls rule. Now, in response to how much is the doggy's response at number 19, Nihon ni sundaimasu ka? Sugoi. Want to get me a job in Japan? Please. Dozo yoroshiku onegai shimasu. Do you live in Tokyo, though? Because you would think that in the city people would be more tolerant of gaikokujin tachi. The nationalization tests for full Japanese citizenship are rather intense. I've known people that have taken almost a decade to ready themselves for it and haven't passed it after about half a dozen times. It's ridiculous. In relation to being a minority in Ireland, you should try living in Australia. If you're white, middle class, male and single, you're definitely in the minority in Melbourne. Some people living in Melbourne might say, no, that's not the case. There's a lot of white people in Melbourne. Yeah, sure, if you live in the rich inner southeastern suburbs, yeah, maybe. But try living in the western suburbs where there's a lot of Muslims and people of Lebanese descent. Even though they might be second generation Australian, they still proclaim Lebanese citizenship. And in the inner western suburbs, you've got a lot of Vietnamese communities. Also, in the far southeastern suburbs, you've got a lot of Asian communities and a lot of other European fourth and fifth generation Australians. But being the Welsh or English descended white Caucasian male in middle class society, we're a minority in Melbourne. That's actually a good thing. I'm not really too fond of middle class white people. They're rather snobby to me. But don't tell anyone I said that. Now, in response to Saffronia's post at number 20, are you sure that a white dude going to you, word up, girlfriend, is them trying to patronize you and stereotype you? Haven't you heard, though, that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery? Like, for example, my Asian friends always give me shit for being so Asian, because I like to put la at the end of my sentence, and all I really watch is Japanese television. Pretty much podcasting is the only non-Asian thing that I do. And you'd think that it would be a form of flattery trying to be like them, even though it's not trying to be like them. It's just because I enjoy a lot of the things they do. Yeah. And now for the mention of the conspiracy behind political correctness. It's all about divide and conquer, the conspiracy behind it. You mentioned that I'm not a drone sitting behind my desk and punching the card in anymore. That's only one side of being a slave to the system. There's actually many different sides to being a sheeple. Just because you don't have an office job and take the same train every day and do the same things, bzz, 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 I'm a good robot, doesn't mean that you're not just part of the system. Sophronia mentioned that people are all bumping heads, and that's what's going on in America. And also mentioned that I live in a blue state, red state, etc., blah, 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 American politics. I just like to say that red state, blue state, it's all both two sides of the same coin. It's all part of the divide and conquer mentality of the political correctness and paradigm movements. In response to Relentless's number 21 podcast, which was the last one before I resubmitted my first podcast to this, she mentioned that I'm not going to curtail my actions so that I don't offend someone. You go, girl. That's the spirit. Just make sure that you continue to deny ignorance and live up to the ATS motto. She also... I need a drink of water. Ah, I'm back now. Damn, this Melbourne 34 or 43 degree heat. Ugh, it's killing me. She mentioned that is there a political correctness conspiracy? Hell yeah, there is. That's what I'm going into later after I've gone through all this list of podcasts. She also mentions distortion of the truth when quoting an article. I go into distortion of the truth in the conspiracy a bit later too. And it's funny that she mentioned women ruling ATS, because now I'm getting images of Valhalla, Relentless, and Benevolent Heretic in a Charlie Angels-like television series. Well, I just took a look at the timestamp in my recording program, and it states that it's up to 22 minutes now, so I think I'm going to end this podcast and start another one with my own responses and bringing up some of my own topics to start afresh in this pod thread after I've had a bit of a drink. So this is Nurky signing out from this AboveTopSecret.com member podcast. Infinite Global Podcast.